Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Welcome to our sanctuary, a sanctuary for skeptics and doubters, a place where your questions are respected. One of the key questions that I receive all the time as a Christian apologist, how will God deal with the people who never heard of Jesus? Now, we began this discussion on our last podcast. If you haven't heard that one, you really want to stop, go back, listen to that one first. You can go to cgmradio.com/Bob, or if you're already subscribing, it should be right there in whatever listening device that you follow this show on daily. But what we did do on the last program, just for a brief recap, we started with the biblical teaching that those who seek God find God. I want to continue with that a little bit before we move on, and then we are going to get more into the discussion of somebody who's actually ignorant, who might die without having received Christ. I know that's the main thing most of you are interested in, but we did want to start with this idea of seeking because it is so key, so paramount, so important. Now, one of the fun things about being a Christian apologist and evangelist over the years is you end up with a lot of great stories. And I have one today of special relevance to our topic. Her name was Renee. She was sitting on the lawn at UCSB looking rather pensive when I approached her with a religious questionnaire. Renee found my sudden appearance to be most coincidental. Recently, she had been asking herself questions such as, what is the meaning of life? Why am I here? What is my purpose? What is truth? Not only did she ponder those subjects, but she had actually been praying to God for answers moments before I arrived. And the questions in my questionnaire were exactly those. What is the meaning of life? What is your purpose? What is truth in your opinion? We talked for quite some time before Renee finally expressed an interest in praying with me to receive the Spirit of Christ. Her prayer contained the most heartbreaking words I have ever heard. God, you know how long I have been searching for you. Just today, sitting here in the grass, I asked you to reveal yourself, and within moments, you... And then she stopped short, folks. She was unable to even control her tears. Thank you, God. She finally choked out. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Okay, well, if God is really making himself known to those who seek him, why do we have so many places in the world where Christianity is not found? That's a good question, my friend, and I have a good answer, but it's an answer you may not want to hear. First of all, primarily, God would prefer to reach people through the church. The church has not often done its job in obeying the great commission that Jesus gave us. Matthew 28, the resurrected Christ telling his disciples to go to the whole world, proclaiming the gospel. Unfortunately, there is also another reason. Very few people grieve over their sin. As a result, they're not looking for God. It should not surprise us that Christianity is scarce. As a matter of fact, Jesus predicted this very thing. Matthew chapter 7, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Okay, let's move on now to your primary curiosity. The time has come. What about the people who lived before Jesus came? Well, my friends, the Old Testament is filled with saints who did not understand the gospel. These people did understand the need to repent of all sin and obey the living God. They also understood the corrupt nature which prevented them from adequately fulfilling this task. And finally, they comprehended God's mercy. They comprehended God's forgiveness. These patriarchs and Israelites knew that blood atonement for sin was required. It's very specific in the law of Moses. It was done by Abraham and others before the law of Moses. But they knew nothing of a man named Jesus Christ specifically, who would die for their trespasses in 33 AD as the ultimate sacrifice. Nevertheless, when Jesus died, while he was up on the cross, he was paying for the sins of Abraham, Moses, David, and any other Hebrew who sought after his Lord in the past. Now, these people did not enter heaven apart from their Messiah. There has never been more than one way to save a soul, not even under the Old Covenant. It's just that certain individuals wore darker glasses as they latched onto the redeeming blood of the cross. Their animal sacrifices enabled them to see a picture similar to what Jesus would eventually do. So right now you're thinking, but there were many people, Bob, who lived before Jesus, not just the people of Israel. There were all kinds of other nations with different beliefs. Yes, that is correct. There were. And this is why Paul describes a similar understanding with ignorant Gentiles in his sermon on Mars Hill. I'm reading from Acts chapter 17. Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious, for as I walked around and observed your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription on it, to an unknown God. Now, what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Isn't that interesting? In the past, God overlooked such ignorance. Now, let's be clear on what this means and what this does not mean. I do not take this to mean that the ignorance of every person is an automatic ticket into heaven. I believe Paul was thinking of repentant Greeks who grieved over their sin, people who would have accepted Jesus had they been given the opportunity. So now the biggest question, could people today have their ignorance overlooked in a similar manner? Could they, as you put it, Bob, latch on to the redeeming blood of the cross with darker glasses? Well, here we are entering into speculation. We know that God reveals himself, but we do not know the extent of this revelation in every case. One thing is certain, we can never ascribe to the poisonous teaching that all religions offer a road to God. Nobody will enter God's kingdom apart from Jesus Christ. On the other hand, when Paul gave that speech in Athens, Christianity was already some 20 years old, and missionaries had been proclaiming the new covenant for quite some time. Still, the citizens of Athens had not yet heard the good news. While listening to Paul and hearing his promise that the times of ignorance were being overlooked, a citizen could say to himself, "Yesterday I had an excuse not to follow Jesus, but now Jesus has made himself known." This is an important method of biblical interpretation, asking ourselves, what did this passage mean to the original audience for whom it was prepared? And to the people of Athens, Paul's speech taught that we are accountable for what we know, not what we don't know. Elsewhere in Scripture, Jesus says, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." Luke 12. It is kind of funny because I'll be out on college campuses and people will always ask me that question. What about the guy that lives in some remote part of the world? And I say, look, I believe God will take that person's ignorance into consideration. However, that's not going to apply to you because you just heard the gospel from me. And they're like, well, gee, thanks, Siegel. Thanks for coming out to our campus. Anyway, the idea here is that people are responsible for what they know, not what they don't know. With this in mind, consider the following possibility. We've already seen that a response to the conscience is really a response to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit and conscience work together. The resulting guilt, along with man's intuitive sense of accountability, may cause him to cry out for mercy. Such a person is calling upon the true God, whoever this God might be. He is longing for his wicked heart to be transformed. The one who reaches this point has done all he can. Jesus Christ promised to accept any repentant individual who begs for God's forgiveness. In Luke chapter 18, he told the story about a man who just beat his chest and said, "God, have mercy upon me, a sinner." Jesus turned to the audience and said, "That man went away justified." Now, he was speaking to an audience that did not yet know he was going to go and die on the cross. The cross is what makes all this repentance and forgiveness legal and possible. But in the parable, all these people understood is, I need to repent before God. And that was God as they understood God at that time. In short, my friends, I believe God will judge people according to what they would have done if they had heard, and he knows what we would have done if we had heard. I believe he will use their consciences on Judgment Day to demonstrate what they would or would not have done. This seems to be the meaning behind Paul's interesting discussion in Romans. We looked last time at the passage. Paul is talking here in Romans chapter 2 about people who never heard the gospel and how God will still judge them according to the precepts of their own conscience. He said, since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their conscience is also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them, this will take place on the day when God will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. Imagine then two souls standing before God. God turns to the first one and says, I realize that you never heard the gospel while living on earth, but you paid attention to your conscience. You tried to obey it. When you found that you couldn't change the thoughts and motives that your own inner witness condemned, you were frustrated. You wished often that something could be done to make you a better person, and you asked help of whatever God was out there. It is obvious to me that you are one who would have responded positively to the gospel had it come your way. Then God turns to the second soul. You didn't hear the gospel either, but frankly, it wouldn't have made much difference. You ignored your conscience and justified your sin. You rationalized by telling yourself that you were no worse than anyone else. And at times you lied to yourself about right and wrong just to avoid feeling guilty. Had you heard the gospel, you would have been one of the many who rejected it. This is very obvious. Since you ignored your very own conscience, you certainly would have ignored a message which, among other things, promises my spirit will reside with in and amplify your conscience. And that is how I believe people will be judged on Judgment Day if they never heard of God. Now, what's really interesting is there are times when missionaries go to cultures that hadn't heard of this God for many, many years, but they had an understanding of God, and their understanding of God was very similar to the way he's portrayed in the Bible. We're going to look at one interesting example of that in tomorrow's show. And in the meantime, this is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.